Good morning. How is everyone doing this morning? Oh, it's good. Seems like everyone's awake and hopefully enjoyed worshiping this morning, God. It's always good to gather together to worship, isn't it? If you please have your Bibles, if you could take them out to John chapter 10, I'd appreciate it this morning. John chapter 10. We're going to continue on our series, Jesus the Great I Am, and we're going through the seven I Am statements in the Gospel of John, and today we're going to be studying Jesus, I Am the Good Shepherd. Different advice can be very helpful, isn't it? Don't you appreciate when you get good, godly counsel from someone else? When you get a helpful voice when you're going through difficult things is very beneficial for us. Well, we have all kinds of people that are speaking their voices to us, that are speaking into our lives. We have from the internet, you have cable TV, you have family and friends and neighbors and professors and teachers and colleagues. We have mentors. We have all kinds of people speaking to our voice, they're speaking into our lives, and they're sharing with us. And with all these voices, the question I have for you today is, how do you know which voice to listen to? How do you know which voice to give the most influence to you in your life? And as you go through this journey in your life, where does God's voice fit in? Where does his voice fit in? Are you listening to his voice? Where does God fit, his voice fit in among all the other voices that are going on in our lives? And how do we filter through all those voices today? I pray that you're here this morning to hear God's voice through his word. I pray that's why you come in to church on Sunday and say, because I, not only do I love the people here, and I pray that you do, but you say, I've come to hear the voice of God through the worship of the songs, through the prayer, and through the reading of the word, that you want to hear God's voice. And I pray you're here today, because when we hear God's voice, we know he's going to lead us the right way, right? We know that. We know he's going to lead us the right way. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, Jesus shares with us a story that they would quite well understand at their time. They would understand everything he's saying in this first century, but you and I, we don't understand it as well because we don't have sheep in our backyard. Some of you might, but most of us don't have sheep in our backyards. You don't have a sheep pen. You're not sleeping with the sheep, you know, shearing the sheep and not doing all those kind of things. So you really don't understand this. This passage of scripture, no, you don't have deja vu. We did talk about this 2 weeks ago, but we need to read it today. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the gate. Today, we're talking about the good shepherd. So if you have your Bibles, let's read John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter in the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. This morning, if you have your notes from inside your bulletin, I want to give you 3 steps with the Good Shepherd. And the first step is follow Jesus' voice. Follow Jesus' voice. That's what he wants us to do. Jesus said the Good Shepherd has a voice, he says, and the sheep follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. And the shepherd is speaking, and the sheep don't follow any other voice, but they follow the Good Shepherd's voice. And as we're following the Good Shepherd's voice, what we're doing, we're actually fleeing from a stranger's voice. Let me kind of give you an illustration this morning. We live in a world of darkness. And in Psalm 119, it says, God's voice through his word becomes a promise to us to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Which means that God promises to light a lamp to our feet to the next step of obedience. That he promises that every time that you and I walk, he takes that next step of obedience. He promises through his word, through his voice, to guide you and I so we can walk with him every step that we go. And so God sometimes, he doesn't walk in a straight line. He might cause us to go over here. Then the next time he says, I want you to guide here. But we're guided by his voice. We're led by his voice through the word of God. And so he might take us over here and sometimes over here. But when God goes over here and you and I decide, I'm not going to listen to his voice, I'm not going to obey his word, and I decide to go over here, when I do that, I sin. When I walk away from the obedience of his voice, of following the good shepherd, doing my own thing, I sin, the Bible says. And the question is, why do we do that? Why do we do that? Why do we sin? Why do we do those tiny things? And maybe you say to yourself, well, I do that because sometimes God's ways are hard, aren't they? Sometimes his ways are really hard. And walking out of the light and doing my own thing can be so much easier for me to do. It's just easy for me to get up and do what I want to do instead of following and do what God wants me to do. But maybe you do that because sometimes you say, God's ways don't give that immediate satisfaction that I'm looking for. I'm looking for that quick fix. I'm looking for that quick remedy in my problem. And to follow God takes time. It takes patience. And sometimes God's work, he works so slow. And I don't want to wait on God, so I want to hurry up and get it done right away. Let me share with you, any time that you walk with God, it's always worth the waiting. It's always more satisfying when waiting on God and following his steps that he leads us in, that steps of obedience. It's always much better to follow him and trust him. And it's so much satisfying and it's so much beneficial in our lives. When you and I are looking for the quick fix to do it our own way because I want to see the results now, this needs to happen right away. More times than not, we're going to find out, we're going to be ending with hurt and frustrations. And why did I do that? And we regret what we've done so many times in our life. But Jesus is saying here in this that you and I are to follow him. We're to follow our good shepherd. And in this passage of scripture, John chapter 10, he's talking about a sheep in a sheep pen. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. That there's a community sheep pen. There's two kinds of sheep pens, one out in the countryside. But the one he's talking about right here, for our understanding, is the community sheep pen. It would be inside of the city. It would be a large sheep pen where shepherds would come into the city and they'd drop off their sheep in this sheep pen. And there would be several shepherds would come and drop off the sheep. And all these sheep would be together. And at the gate, there would be a watchman. Be the gate man. He would watch the gate. And no one could come in that did not have sheep. He would not let any other shepherd, any other person come in to take any of those sheep. He'd remember all those shepherds and they would be there, and so the sheep would be safe. But when the shepherd comes back to get his sheep, they're mixed with all the other sheep. They're not branded. They don't have a tag. So the only way he can lead them out, the Bible says, he goes in there and he starts calling them by name, mentions their name, and they hear his voice. And then they walk out with the shepherd, the good shepherd. He's talking about himself, Jesus. They walk out with the good shepherd because he's calling them by name. And they hear his voice and they follow him. And what Jesus is letting you and I know, that sheep follow one voice and one voice only. And I'm sure that you're sitting there, as I probably would be sitting there and say, you know, Pastor, I understand that. I'm not a shepherd. I've never done that. I've never led sheep out. I've never been around sheep. What does this really have to do with me? How does this affect my life today in 2018? What does it have to do? Well, let me take you back. When I was a little boy, before my parents moved out when I was about 13 out on the farm, I lived at kind of a subdivision, and there was kids all around, and at least 10 to 20, maybe 30 kids would be around. Almost every night, they'd be playing outside, and we'd be out in their backyard, and we'd be playing and stuff. And the only way that the parents could get us to come home is the mom would put her head out the back door and say, Johnny, come home. And Johnny would hear his mom's voice and he would take off and he'd know he better get home right away, either to eat or it's late and his mom wanted to come home, whatever reason, he would leave. But that voice of that mom had no bearing up on me. It didn't affect me at all. I continued to play because that wasn't the voice I was waiting for. But when my mom called, I knew her voice distinct from all other voices. It wasn't that her voice was so loud. My mom's kind of a quiet talker. But I could tell that voice. And I knew that. And when she called my name, I knew I better hit home, better do right away. And it affected me. Just last week, this reminded me of this again. After church on Sunday, of course it was Easter last week, the place was pretty filled, and most people stayed around into the auditorium out in the lobby and stuff. And right after church, I was out in the lobby, and everyone was talking and laughing and stuff, and all of a sudden I heard someone talking right inside the doors here, and I'm out in the lobby, and they were talking amongst all the other talking, and I heard their laughter, and I knew that voice in an instant. I knew it was above all other voices. It was distinct. It wasn't louder than any voice, but I knew that laugh. I knew that voice, and I turned it around, and it was my wife, Sheila. I knew it. She's probably 30, 40, 50 feet away, but I could hear that voice amongst all the others. There was people all around, but I could hear that voice. And what Jesus is saying to you and I, that you hear God's voice so often, and you know it so well, that it's so familiar that you know that voice above all other voices. That even in a crowded room, you can hear his voice and you know it, the voice of the shepherd. And what Jesus is saying, people who truly belong to Jesus hear his voice. People who truly belong to Jesus listen to his voice. And people who truly belong to Jesus follow his voice is what he's saying. We follow his voice. Then he goes on into verse 10, and now he's giving us a contrast between a good shepherd and a bad shepherd. Let's begin reading in verse 10. He says, a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So Jesus now contrasts himself as the good shepherd against a different kind of shepherd, and he calls them the bad shepherds. And the ones he's talking about, he says, a thief and a robber. Now, when the shepherds drop off their sheep at the community sheep pen, as I said, there's a watchman, there's a gatekeeper there. He's a hired hand. And he watches the sheep, and he doesn't let anyone come in there that does not have sheep. Only the shepherds, they have sheep. He remembers who they are. No one else can get in. And Jesus is talking about there a thief and a robber wants to come and attack these sheep. In no way they're going to come through the gate because there's a gatekeeper. So what they do, they come over the wall or find another way to come in. And you and I understand about a thief and a robber. We understand what that means today, what they're out to get. So the thief and a robber will either come over the wall or dig under the wall or going to get in there some way. But here's the thing. The thief and the robber are strangers to the sheep, and the sheep only follow one voice, the voice of the shepherd. When a stranger's voice comes in, the thief and the robber, they're going to run in the opposite direction. And there's no way that that thief and the robber is going to get those sheep to follow them. So many times they have to go coerce them. They got to push them. They got to shove them. And they're out to get what they can get from these sheep. They don't care anything about the sheep. They're out for gain and profit, what Jesus is trying to say. So they drive and they push the sheep because they do not care for the sheep. Jesus says a bad shepherd's there, and he says they only care for themselves. But Jesus says a good shepherd cares about the sheep and cares about them and what's best for them. And he goes on to say, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. He says, well, the thief comes only to steal your life, comes only to take your life away. He says, that's what they do. And we understand that. If a thief and a robber come in your house, are they out for your good? They're out for your bad. They're only to take things. They're only to steal from you, to rob you. And that's what he's saying. They only come to rob your life, to manipulate you, to use you, and all those kind of things. And he says, watch it. He says, well, a good shepherd, Jesus, comes to give us life and give it abundantly. And the contrast, what he's saying here for you and I, he says that Jesus comes to give, the good shepherd, but the thief and the robber comes to take, manipulate you, take everything they can to rob you of life, to steal the life that God came to give you, to go have you go astray from him, to go someplace else and walk around there. That's what a thief and a robber does. And he said, but the good shepherd will never lead you astray. Matter of fact, he came to give you life and give it to the fullest. Then he goes on and he gives us another bad shepherd in this passage. He talks about the hired hand. What is the hired hand? The shepherd employs a hired hand so he can help around with the sheep. And the hired hand would become familiar with the sheep so they would learn to follow him. Now remember, the shepherd owns the sheep and the hired hand is just an employee. So the hired hand will take the sheep out to graze into the pasture. But when a wolf comes to scatter the sheep, the hired hand won't go out there and fight the wolf to risk his life. The hired hand will run away is what he would do because these are not his sheep. Remember back in the Old Testament where David, the good shepherd, said also, he says about what he would do if the bear and the lion came. He said when the bear and lion came, because he owned the sheep, he would take out his slingshot and he would fight off the bear and the lion to protect the sheep. And that's what Jesus is telling you and I. Jesus said the hired hand is not a good shepherd. He says, when you are in trouble, he'll be the first to run away. He will not care for you as the good shepherd. And Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. I will never run away. And so what does Jesus do when we get in trouble? Let's go back a little bit and be reminded what he's done for us. When Jesus was betrayed by Judas, he didn't run away. When they came to arrest him, he didn't pull out a sword to fight. When they beat him and put him up on the cross, he did not run away, but he stayed there up on the cross. Jesus is not the hired hand, the Bible says, but he's the faithful servant. He's the good shepherd. Faithful enough to lay down his life for his sheep is what he's saying to you and I, that I will lay down my life and give my all for you and I is what he's telling you and I. He's not going to run from us when we're in trouble. He's not going to run from us when we find difficulties in our life. He's going to be there through thick and thin. He will never forsake us is what he says. I will never turn my back on you. No matter how many times we fail. No matter how many times we run away from the shepherd, he says, I'll never turn my back on you. See, when he's telling us about the good shepherd, the people would understand that the shepherd loves all the sheep. He doesn't want to lose one. Every one of those sheep is important. So when that one sheep would go astray, and no matter how many times it would go wayward and run away, no matter how many times it would go away from the good shepherd, that good shepherd went after that sheep, and he pursued that sheep, and he didn't give up on that sheep. Never would give up on a sheep, because he loves the sheep. They have meaning to him. He cares for the sheep. And many times when he'd find that sheep, and they're all kinds of a mess, he would clean that sheep off. And many times he'd pick that sheep up, and he'd put him around his shoulders, and he would carry that sheep back to safety, back to protection of the good shepherd, because he loves the sheep. And he's given you and I a picture about the good shepherd. It's different from the hired hand. It's different from the thief and the robber. He loves his sheep, and he's going to protect his sheep. And he's not going to let anyone take one, that you're safe and secure in the shepherd's hands. He's not like the hired hand. He's not like the thief and the robber. He's not like anyone else. The good shepherd loves you, and you're in safely protection with him. The second step with the good shepherd, he says, that you're to grow in your relationship with Jesus. Grow in your relationship. The people in our life that we often assign the most influence in our life is the people that we really know well. It's the people that we trust. The people that have been around with us for the longest of time, that we really feel like we can trust them, that they have influence in our life. When their voice speaks to us, we listen because we trust them. We give them influence. We know that they're looking out what's best for us. They know us pretty well. They don't know everything about us. Let's be honest. No one knows everything about us, but they know us pretty well. Let's read in John chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Can you imagine a better relationship than the Trinitarian relationship, where the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father? Think about that relationship. It's the most perfect relationship. It's the most highest of all relationships we can think of. That relationship is perfect because it has the most intimacy. They're most familiar. They're most real, most authentic, most transparent. They know everything about each other. And it's the most greatest relationship you can possibly have. To think about between the Father and the Son, and the Son and the Father, there's no greater relationship. And that's what he's talking about. As I know my Father, and my Father knows me. And then he does something pretty remarkable in this passage of scripture. Then he turns it. And says Jesus, now Jesus says, and turns it on us. And he says this, he says, the sheep and the good shepherd. Now he's talking about the sheep and the good shepherd. And Jesus says, I know you. He knows us. He knows the sheep. What he's saying is, I know you as an individual. I know every one of you. I know you. And you might sit there and say, well, how does he really know me? How does he really know me? He's from heaven. How can God really know me? How can he really understand what I'm going through? In Psalm 139, it gives us a little hint of that. It says that God knit you together when you were in your mother's womb. And what that's telling us is that he is the one that designed you. He is the one that specifically knit you together. He put you together the way he wanted you to be. He knows you and he loves you, is what the Bible is saying. And the Bible says he knew you before the world ever began. He knew you way back then, before you ever were created, before your parents or anything was created. From eternity past, he knew what you would look like. He knew what you would think like. He knew what you would be like. He knows before you make any decision what you're going to make in the moment's notice right now. Besides that, he knows every decision you're going to make and how you will make it. He knows exactly what you're going to do. Everything about you, he knows. He knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. But he still loves you. He still loves you. He knows you that much. But here's the thing about what he's saying here. He's saying that this relationship, just me knowing you, is not a one-sided relationship. It's not all about me knowing you. He said it's a mutual, it's a reciprocal relationship. It's not just about me knowing you. He says what it is, he says, not only did I know you, but you are supposed to know me. You know, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And that's significant, what he's saying here. What he is saying to you and I is something amazing. He says, we can know Christ, the good shepherd, like Christ knows his Father. We can have that kind of relationship, what he's talking about. And you think about, that's pretty special. There's no greater relationship than that. And that's what he's saying to you tonight. We can know him that way. He says we can have such an intimate relationship with Jesus, is what he's saying. That we can know him like he knows his own Father. That intimate relationship, that perfect relationship that the Father has with the Son and the Son has with the Father. Jesus says, I know you. And now you can know me the same way. That exact same way. He says, just as my Father knows me and I know my Father, you can have that kind of relationship with him. And that's what he's called us to. What Jesus has done, he's kind of pulled back the curtain or tore the curtain down, revealed his love and his transparency to us. And he's letting you and I know, he says, I'm with you and you're with me. And I love you, and you can love me as I love my Father. And you can know me as I love my Father. That I've let it all down. That he says, what I want with you now is just not a relationship. I didn't just die so you can just have a relationship. I died so you can be part of the family. You can be part of the intimate family. And you can come inside and know me as I know my Father. And I'm going to let it all down. I'm going to be transparent, total transparency, total openness. So you can really understand who I am. And I can understand who you are. That's what God wants with us. He wants a total transparency of a relationship, the best kind of a relationship where we know everything about each other, and that's what he's invited you to. He said, I want you to know everything about me, is what Jesus says. I want you to know everything about me. Learn about me. Grow in me. Understand who I am, because I know everything about you, and I want you to know about me, and I want you to draw close to me. I want you to have that kind of relationship as I have with the Father. I want to have that with you. It's what he's calling you and I to. And it's a beautiful relationship. There's no better relationship that he's saying he wants with us. Think about that. God wants that kind of relationship with us. We are part of the family. What I have is three ways that we can grow in a relationship with God. It's not in your notes, but I thought I needed to include this. And the first way to grow in a relationship with God is through prayer. Through prayer. Many times we come to speak with God, and what we do is we come and speak 100% of the time. And we come with our long laundry list of the things that we want in prayer. And we kind of list those out. We go through those. And man, we feel like, man, I've prayed. And you say, well, isn't it what prayer is supposed to be about? Part of it, not quite. If you were trying to start a relationship or grow in a relationship with someone, and you says, man, I want to get to know them better, so I'm going to take them out to lunch. And you go out to lunch with that new friend that you're trying to build that relationship, and man, I want to get to know them, and you go out and you do all the talking, 100% of all the talking at that lunch. You just do all the talking. They don't get a word in. And you walk away, and let me ask you, did you get to know them any better? No. Probably not. You probably found out they're a good listener, huh? Boy, they're a good listener. You probably walked away. But you didn't get to know them any better. And see, that's what a relationship, when we come and do all the talking, that's kind of a relationship. God said, no, this is a two-way street. It's a relationship. It's mutual on both sides. Both sides are speaking. It goes back and forth. It's reciprocal. It's what God is telling us. It's just not you doing all the talking. God wants to talk with us and speak to us. Prayer is not a time only to talk with God, but it's a time to listen. Listen to God. And we need to be reminded of that. And what does that mean? It means that now I come and I'm silent before the Lord. As I come with my prayer request, and maybe I read the word of God, and I begin to pray, but I'm silent. And prayer, what we need to be reminded is prayer where application takes place in our life. Do you realize that? It's not just reading the word of God. It's when I come and I pray over it. It's where I'm yielding my heart and mind to God, where God starts to work in it. And where I come before God and I maybe read the word of God, I'm praying over these situations in my life. God, what am I supposed to do? And then I just get silent before the Lord. Just silence. And I focus upon him, maybe focus on what I read, focus on the things that I prayed, and just have God kind of working in my heart and mind. And he starts to place things on your heart and your mind, different things. And man, I was thinking to do this, and God says, no, I want you to go in this direction. And all of a sudden, you're coming away with a different perspective through that prayer time, because you kept your mouth quiet, and you're now listening. Listening for God's guidance, listening for God's will, listening for what God wants you to do. And now you come away with a different perspective when you're silent before the Lord. And what that is God's perspective that he has for you. And that's what we're here to do. We're to come to listen. So when we come to pray, we need to understand, pray, we're to pray, but we're also to listen in our prayer and draw close to Jesus and come to know him. We should think of prayer as, when I come to pray, I'm coming to get to know Jesus. That's what prayer is supposed to be about. Not just about me and what I need. Prayer is for me to get to know Jesus. And how am I going to get to know Jesus? By allowing him to speak to me. By allowing him to talk to me. By spending quiet time before him. Allow him to speak. Second thing we need to grow in a relationship with Jesus is the Bible, of course. Is the Bible. Oftentimes we read the Bible, and I pray you are reading it. But we usually read the Bible like, what does God have for me today? And how can I apply this to my life? And we look for those things. And that's really good, and it's not bad. But may I suggest that you read the Bible to get to know Jesus? May I suggest that you read it to say, what I really need to know is not what I'm to do in this part of my life. I need to know more about him. Because when I know about him, I'm going to know what to do, right? So I need to know about Jesus. Read the Bibles to get to know him through this word. Because we're reading the word of God, what it helps us, we need to understand Jesus' words, his works, and his ways. His words, his works, and his ways. That's why we read the Bible. We read it so I can understand Jesus, his word, his works, and his ways. So I understand what I'm supposed to do in my life. Not just come to him and say, God, what do you have for me? No, God, what do you want to show me about yourself? And I shared this a few weeks ago, to understand his nature and his character, what he's doing. To come to know him. That's what reading the word is, to come to know him, to understand him. And so many times when we come there, we need to see what Jesus would do in a circumstance and kind of come away with, okay, Jesus, what happened when Jesus was betrayed by Judas? What did he do there? And think about that and read about that. How did he handle that? He was betrayed by someone. Did he look for vengeance? What did he do? When he goes to Peter and says, Peter, you're going to deny me, but I'm going to pray for you. Look how he responded. He didn't get all upset, angry. Look the way that Jesus responds in these ways. Study his works, his words, and his way so you can understand him. And you say, well, how should I respond to this? Well, let's see what Jesus did and follow the way that he responded. Follow his works and his words, exactly what he did. That's why we're supposed to grow and to learn to be like him. That's what God wants us to become, like Jesus. So we need to learn the scriptures to understand Jesus and what he would do. And that's what God wants for us in our life. The third, not only do we have prayer, not only do we need the Bible, but we need to know how to relate to one another. And this is such a key for us. It's such a key for us. And that's what the fruit of it is relationships. I'm going to be doing a series on this. Our next series is going to be about relating, keys to relational living and stuff. But in relationships, it's easy to see people's kind of mistakes, aren't they? It's easy to point out when someone misspeaks. Isn't it? Isn't it really easy to see someone else when they misspeak? It's easy to see someone else in their sins. It's easy to talk about those things to see someone else. And I'm not talking about unbelievers, Christians and unbelievers. I'm really talking about Christians. I mean, really talking about people inside the church with each other. And sometimes it's so easy for us to say, you know, to see someone else do something and point out they don't say something the right way. We have to correct them. We have to do this. And it's easy for all of us to do that, to see others. It's not so easy to see our own stuff. Our own sins and the way we respond. Because we think everyone has to be like us. And I don't know why we think that, because everyone else is in a different place with Jesus. We're all growing closer to him, but we're not all in the same place. So we can't expect everyone to be like we are. So what I'm asking is, maybe we need to do a paradigm shift, that our thinking becomes not so focused on how everyone's misstepping and misspeaking and doing wrong, but maybe we should look for opportunities to look past that and look for ways to encourage one another. Look for ways to build each other up. And look for people when you see something and go up to someone and say, man, I can really see how Jesus is working in your life. Boy, you know, when you said that, I can see that you've been reading and I can see that God is really working in your heart and mind. Or go to someone and says, man, I seen you a year ago and today I can see that you've grown so much in Jesus. And I can see you're like this young flower, you're starting to bloom. And I just see God is doing something remarkable and amazing in your life. That we're to come together and build each other up and encourage one another. Not tearing down and looking for ways to ridicule and see the next mistake someone makes. See, when we sin before God, we expect, and God does this, God forgives us of our sins and he lets it go and moves on. And we should do the same thing. We should forgive and forget and let go, shouldn't we? But we want to hold on to those things. We're to encourage and love. We're to love each other. We're to encourage one another. That's what God wants us to do. And it's how we relate to one another. How we relate to one another. And love and kindness and encouragement and building each other up, not tearing down, really reflects Jesus in us. It really reflects your walk in Jesus. And you can almost tell the way you're walking with Jesus is how you're treating your other believers. I'm not talking about the world, because the way we treat the world is a whole different thing, way. They don't know Christ. But the way we treat believers, it really tells a difference in your life. And you can see, well, how am I walking with Jesus? How are you treating people? Especially your brothers and sisters in Christ. How do you treat them? Are you being kind to them? Are you lifting them up? Are you building one another up? Or are we ripping them down? Let's have that paradigm shift and look to encourage one another and build them up. And let's see Jesus in each and every one of them and encourage. The third step with the Good Shepherd, he says, share Jesus. The third step is share Jesus so that others will hear his voice. Share Jesus. In verse 16, he says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd, is what he's saying there. The other sheep, not of this flock, what he was talking about refers to Gentiles who would believe. that after his death, that many more will come to the Father through that, that they will come and they would believe. And when God created you and I, he created you with it inside of us, something inside of us, that you and I might recognize his voice. They may come to the moment and recognize Jesus' voice, recognize that we're sinners and that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that he paid that price for us, and that who Jesus is, that he's God. We would recognize these things and we'd say yes to Jesus. I accept him as my Savior. I accept him as my good shepherd. And then we continue to follow him. That's what he wants, that you and I would follow him. Not just follow him and just say, oh yeah, I'm following. No, that we would actually be listening to him. We would hear his voice, not just hear it, but listen to his voice and follow his voice and be disciples of Jesus. And what disciples is that we're learners, but we're in the way of Jesus. That Jesus kind of looks over his shoulder and says, are you in the way with me? Are you walking with me? And we're walking with Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be doing. God has called you and I to be followers of Christ, not just hearers, not just listeners, but we would listen and obey and be followers of Jesus. And that's what he wants for us. He says, I'm looking, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and he wants us to follow him. But for those of us that know Jesus' voice and that you and I know him, let me encourage you to share with other people and share Jesus with them so they too might have the opportunity to come to know Jesus. They need to hear that voice too. And sometimes God might use you and I to share Jesus with others so they might have the opportunity to learn from this good shepherd Jesus. There's no one like him. And believe me, if everyone can understand the good shepherd Jesus, they're gonna wanna hear about him. And God has sent you out into the world with your family, your neighbors, your co-friends, and all those, your co-workers and all those, that you might go out there and share the good news about the good shepherd. That he has a voice and he's speaking and he's calling people. Calling them by name, and he wants them to come to him and accept him. And you too can share that wonderful news about Jesus. See, we find all through the Bible, God was speaking to people and he was calling people to serve him. All through the Old Testament, all through the Bible, he's doing it. And my question is, are you hearing the voice of Jesus? Are you hearing the voice of God right now through his word? I'm not asking you to hear audible voices, but are you listening to the voice of God? Are you hearing it? What God has to say? Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. And he says, and they follow me. Are you following the voice of the shepherd? Are you being obedient to his call? Are you right now saying, I can honestly say I'm being obedient. I'm following him. I'm reading God's word and I'm hearing it and I'm listening and I'm following it. See, today is a day and time for you and I to come before the throne of God and just yield our life to him. It's a time for you and I just to lay down our will to him today and to say, God, maybe I've been going my own way. That light shining over there, you want me to go here and I went here. And I've been going ever since, further and further away from you. Or sometimes, God, I kind of do the hopscotch. And one day I'll follow, and next time I won't. And I'm doing a hopscotch in my life with you. And I'm just all over the place. And I'm not walking with you. One day I am, the next day I'm not. And really, I'm not in the way with you at all. And we've come to understand that. That today might be the day you say, well, I'm willing to now to listen. I'm willing to follow Jesus today. And you look at that, and I want to hear my shepherd's voice, and I want to be in the way with him. That you would today say, today's the day I want to seek him, and I want to grow in Jesus, and I want to begin to pray and read the word, and I want to start treating others the way that God wants me to do. And today, maybe for you, say, I need to start sharing Jesus with others so that they too may hear the shepherd's voice and they may too come to know him and they can be part of this sheep in a sheep pen with Jesus that he's talking about here, giving us this metaphor. The question is this, the Bible lets you and I know one thing, that God is speaking through his word. He's speaking loud and clear to every one of us. Every time we open this book, he's speaking. Every time we come to him in prayer, he's speaking. But sometimes we come to God in prayer, we don't give him time to speak. We don't have anything for him to say to us because we're out of this word. And God is speaking to us. And it's not so much a question sometimes we hear. I mean, we hear all kinds of voices. The question is, are you listening? And are you listening? And are you following him in the steps of obedience? That's what's important. Not that I hear God's voice, but am I listening to that voice? Am I following that voice in steps of obedience? That's what this is all about. My sheep know me. They know my voice and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. Jesus is saying, are you in the way with me? Are you following me and being obedient to my voice? Let's pray. Lord, we come and we praise you. We thank you so much, Lord, of how much you love us. That just the metaphor, Lord, of the good shepherd, and Lord, you've given that all through the Old Testament and through the New Testament, what that means for us. Lord, how much you really care for us. You just didn't put us upon this earth to come just to know you. But Lord, you put us on this earth so we may walk with you and be led by your voice, be led by our great shepherd, Jesus. Not just in any kind of relationship, but you called us, Lord, to the most intimate of all relationships, that we can come and know you as like you know your Father. So Lord, let us just be in the wonder of that. Let us run to your arms and realize that you're a God who really is serious about this relationship. A God who really cares. That no matter what I've done, that you will always be there for me. That you will never forsake me. You will never run away. No matter how far I go away from you, you will always seek me. You will never give up on me. And Lord, if someone is here today and they feel like, God, you've given up on them, let them realize, Lord, that you love them and you never stop loving them. And you've never stopped pursuing them. That if they would turn to you right now, you would throw your arms around them and forgive them of everything they've done. Lord, I pray for that person right now. They'd come and ask for your forgiveness and then continue on their way to walk with Jesus. Be followers of Christ. I pray for every one of us, Lord, in our walk with Jesus, that we'd realize how great our good shepherd is and how much he really loves us. And Lord, we realize following him, there's nothing greater in this life to follow Jesus. They'd put off our own will and our own ways to seek the ways of our shepherd, to realize he's always looking out what's best for us. Because he cares for us. He's there to protect us. He's there to lead us and guide us, to help us in the midst of our troubles, to carry us at times because he loves us so much that we can throw our lives into the hands of the shepherd and throw ourselves before the throne of God because we know that he loves us and he cares for us and he will always protect us. He will always guide us and he will never let us down. For all of eternity, he's our good shepherd. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for being our shepherd. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.